The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a man from God, sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Judeans sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" John confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A very good morning to you, my brothers and sisters. I greet you all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Once upon a time, there was a politician who was running a very close election campaign, and he was running against a very clever candidate. But he think of a way in order to woo the voters for this campaign. So he went in different places, in bars, in churches, cocktails, wherever where people were gathering in order to sell his ideas. And his ideas were wonderful, they were amazing. And many people were saying he has got very good issues that will address the challenges of our city or county. And this man had his advancement. And before he would go to the campaigning place, the advancement would go and sell the ideas. But this advancement was a very, very bad guy. He was very pompous. He was not doing very well with the voters, so the people were not happy with the advancement. And so the campaign was going, and it was going, and was going like that. And a week before the elections, they saw like, no, we are not winning, we are losing. And then the advancement quit the campaign. And of course, later on, they failed to make it. Why am I telling this story? The politician, he was a wonderful man, wonderful person with very good ideas, but he had a very bad advancement. the advanced men who could not be able to woo the world voters and was not a good man at all. But this morning, what kind of advancement are we? What kind of the people who goes in front in order to prepare? What kind of the advancement are we? Our text this morning, and John here is using the word confessing. I want to use, to continue to use the word testimony. John is making a testimony. He's making a testimony about the coming of the Messiah. But let me say this before I explain a lot of things in this text. An investigative team was dispatched from the capital city to interrogate an enigmatic preacher named John the Baptizer. And so down from the capital came the interrogators. And in today's world, in such a scene, there will be men of the press and women of the press will be present to hear and to witness this interrogation. When John is being grilled by the investigators or the interrogators, who do you think you are? That question is not asking about John's identity. They're not asking, what is your name? It's about the meaning. Who do you think you are? Who are you? It's not about the name Gracious. It's about the meaning. This is very interrogative question. But we see this morning, this is the testimony now given by John when the religious authorities sent by the priests, sent the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem to interrogate him. Who are you? What a very deep question. And John confessed or testified and did not deny it. I am not the Messiah. A very negative response. This is not what they want to hear. I am not the Messiah. So their question, who are you, means a lot. And John, I think he knew exactly what they were trying to ask. So the Baptist answered their questions in a very short, emphatic way, like a witness responding to direct questioning. No, what a short answer, no. The Baptist was not the Messiah, neither Elijah nor the prophet. Let me go back again to the story that I started. And we have seen this during the election period. We have seen in many other election periods that we see in the world over, what really happens. And we have seen constant self-expression of different and self-aggrandizement in a lot of the people, trying to sell themselves. And they talk much about what I am going to do, who I am. And sometimes we see the social media, we see a lot of media as well. So they posture themselves to many trying to sell their ideas, but in a very distinctly egocentric way, if not in a full narcissistic way, especially in the time that we are living in this period in the world. More often, we want us to talk about ourselves. It's a human nature. We want to talk about ourselves. But this morning, what a refreshing change to see someone saying, I am not the Messiah. And sometimes I see in our own websites, in our social media accounts, we see the posts with perfect pictures of ourselves, showing the best way that we live. And sometimes carefully crafting the messages to express about our culture views, our judgments, to reinforce whatever self we have constructed or that we want to present. And this is what we do, and this is its human nature. We want to sell ourselves. But this morning, who is John instead? And just exactly what God called him to be, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, someone destined to prepare the way for another, a person called to point others to Jesus. And that's enough. And while we are at it, every time we respond to God's call, we need to be ourselves. We also discover that it is not enough. But John, in this text, is saying, no, I am not the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet. I am just some dude trying to do what I believe God called me to do. And I think the bystanders likely were terribly disappointed, but John just as totally at peace. God called us, my dear siblings, just as we are. God accepts us just as we are. God has given good work for us to do that doesn't require us be anything other than who God created us to be. So self-acceptance based on God's acceptance and self-actualization based on receiving God's call and affirmation rather than the striving of affirmation from the people in turn frees us to make the sacrifices required by the day that only deepen our sense of calling, purpose, and meaning. So let's not make a mistake. John is making a sacrifice here. His negative confession, I am not. When everyone around him was willing and eager to reward him with their attention, affirmation, and approbation, if he would just confirm or conformed to their expectations. And I mean, think of all the likes that we receive today, the likes, the retweets, the new followers he would have gotten if he would have just been who they wanted him to be. But rather, that asset himself, he makes a negative confession and sacrifice, I am not. If we read the same text in the synoptics, we find that John the Baptist is referred to as a prophet who has an important ministry in his own right. He calls people to repentance and eventually dies as a martyr for daring to confront petty earthly tyrants with the word of the Lord. But in John, for the most part, he just points people to Jesus. So our text today tells us more about who John wasn't than about who he was. He wasn't the light. He wasn't the Messiah. He wasn't Elijah, and he wasn't the prophet. Now, who then was he? He was a witness. He was the voice, albeit a voice telling people to prepare for someone else, someone whose sandals John was unworthy to untie. And John is a witness. And in Greek, a witness is materia to witness. Someone who testifies material to the good news of Jesus Christ. And those two words are used more than 45 times in John's gospel and are expressive of many considered to be central theme of the work. And if their origin in the legal context and so imply a public testimony to something that one guarantees is absolutely true. And a witness usually has a personal connection to the events he or she is related. And in legal proceedings, a witness was bound to tell the entire truth. He or she could not withhold any information. So we need to understand that they did not simply ask the question, they interrogated him. And notice here, I choose the word interrogation over questioning, because since the term witness or testimony evokes the courtroom language, and I think interrogate is the preferred interpretation in this text to keep us a kind of courtroom trial slant. Now, when a witness testifies to something, he or she stakes his or her life on it. A false witness commits a perjury and then a capital offense. So this is, of course, explains the origin of the English word a martyr, a witness who suffers the ultimate consequence with his or her public testimony is deemed false. So John is only the first of many to testify on behalf of Jesus in this gospel. So John the Baptist was a witness to testify to the light of God, which lives in Christ. And Christ is the light of the world who brings the life to all human beings, to all the world. And John witnessed about God's light, the one who would bring truth to a darkened and dishonest world. So we, the church today, we are sent to the world as a witness. We are the same. We point to the greatest light in the whole world, Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the great and glorious beacon that guides us on our way. Jesus is the North Star who guides us in the night. Jesus is our lamp who guides our feet, so we don't stumble and fall as we walk on the paths of life. And John the Baptist and everyone else who has any sense does not point to oneself as an example, but to Jesus. And that's our role as the church, to point all people to Christ. And let's keep our eyes on Christ. And when we keep our eyes on him, we will do well. My brothers and sisters, there are thousands of other lights in this world beckoning for the human race to follow. But there's only one light. Jesus Christ is the true light, the true beacon, the true radiance who guides our life. But let me give the second part of this text, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. The Baptist's role was to prepare the people to receive the light that would turn them to the light, the good, and the life. I know we always prepare. People, human beings always prepare. We do always prepare. And when we prepare for the great things, it could be preparing for Christmas that is coming, preparing for our birthdays, preparing for our homecoming of a child, a trip, getting ready for a big game, preparing for the important concert, preparing for many other things, for the presidential candidates, and so forth and so forth. We always prepare. But we all have experienced, and now we have the reality of what preparation means. And Christ comes to us in so many ways. And in one's heart, always we need to be prepared for the surprise of coming of Christ into our lives. Often when we least expect it, voices of the pastors, our spouses, our children, our friends, our workmates, our professors, our neighbors are often the voice of God, calling to us and getting our attention to get ready for the coming of God's glorious presence into our lives. So make the paths straight is the message this morning. Make them straight. And here we are talking about to prepare the way for the Lord and make his path so straight. And what does that mean? The image of straightening a path was clear to the people of the first century. When a king was about to come into the land, the road-like paths will be cleaned up and straightened in preparation for his royal majesty's entrance. So it was at the coming of the king of the universe, and the prophet would prepare for the coming of Christ unto the earth and into our lives. My dear friends, this morning, Christ is coming. This is the third Sunday of the Advent. Let's get ready. Christ is coming. Christ is with us, and we need to prepare each and every day. In the midst of the darkness and disappointments, and the dreary outlooks, God sent light into the world. And we see here the evangelist invites us to move our eyes from the immediate struggles of life to the one who is full of grace and truth. And when we do this, like the Baptist, our status, our standing, our problems, our dreams, and our loss seem like nothing. The troubles of life lose the power in the presence of the one who is everything. The light is coming. No matter how fierce the gale, no matter how cruel the world could be, the light is coming. And the light will bring us joy. In our miseries, in our frustrations, in the cold and the darkness and the grief, that all stuck a claim on our souls. The last word belongs to hope. The light is coming. Hold on, my dear friends. Stay together, abide together, because the light shines in the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. Right now, disaster and misfortunes still haunt our days. The cold winter besieges our nights, and war and pestilence dominate our headlines. But listen, my dear friends, the light is coming. And the light will bring us joy. The dream of abundant life appears to us in the shattered fragments of incomplete projects, corrupted intentions, broken promises. And he is Christ. He will fulfill the promises. He is the light. And the light will bring us joy. My dear friends, what are we going to do in the neighborhood that we live? May I call all of us to be that light to shine and be the beacon preparing the way for the coming of Christ. It's 1 week before we go to Christmas. This is our time to celebrate together as we walk together. And during all this period, very unprecedented and stressful time, let me give you an assurance that the light is in our midst, and that light is Christ Jesus. Amen.